So let's watch this video and be encouraged, and then we will jump in again what God has prepared for us. So let's pray for now. Father, your name be glorified. Your Son Jesus may be more clear, more real as a person, as a friend, as a battle warrior to all of us as we are going through a life that full of surprises, full of pain, and many, 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 many adventures. But in all those adventures, your word is our compass, your spirit is our guide, and you are, Lord, our wonderful helper who guide us. So Father, use this video and use our time together to glorify you and your name alone. Be magnified in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Gene can tell you so many stories as he goes to India, Hyderabad, and many other places. How people are being, you know, treated for one reason, and that's the reason because they stand, they believe, they uphold above anything else on this earth. And that's the only unique and one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name been, you know, throughout the ages, been, you know, persecuted through so many people. So the story, the reason I share with you, because it's coming here, or maybe it is already here. I was listening to another story from Iran. Husband and wife, they were praying, and they were praying for at least 10 years before war came to Iraq or Iran in their area. They said, we were praying for revival. They said, we were praying for revival. God brought war. They said, we saw lives, homes, family, just, you know, scattered like a sheep and cattle's all over the place. Head is there. Feet is there, half bodies over there, nobody knows where's mother, where's father, where's kid. It was everywhere. Family was destroyed. Faith was trying to be, you know, put down. And she said, the best thing, God answered our prayer. We were praying for revival. God brought war. And that war was used, the place that was millions of millions of people against Christianity. Now, thousands of peoples are coming to Christ because of the prayer of the people who was asking. So God answers prayer. And maybe sometime we don't like it the way He answers our prayers. So they were praying for revival. War came. So it's real, it's coming here, already here. Some of them are being persecuted in the U.S. And so far the form of persecution in U.S. in schools, you can't carry your Bible, you cannot utter the name of Jesus. If you say a prayer, if you say something, you will be, you know, put down, or people will go hard on you. So far that is the persecution, and compared to people that going through imprisonment, families being destroyed, house being taken, and everything is gone. It's nothing. It's so far it's a great deal that you saying, you know, hey, don't sit with me. That's your persecution, being Christian in USA. Don't talk to me. That's your persecution. Recently, I was in Pakistan and I was visiting, planning to go to visit the mother of two my aunt's family members who was killed and shot. They were blamed in Pakistan for reason they were growing in faith. They were going to make a Christian hospital, and the hospital was going to be as a beacon light of Jesus Christ to so many people free medication, and there was a first reason they were planning. They are going to share gospel in that hospital. Somebody was not happy. They want to shut down that whole plan. They had the land. They had the money. And more money was coming from Great USA to start this plan. Somebody got greedy. Satan got in their heart, and they put a blame on those two brothers. And that story is written online. If you ask Mr. Google, it will tell you. Story of two brothers, Rashid and Sajid. So they both were blamed. They went to a physical remand. Physical remand is a torture. And that torture, I can tell you, I have heard stories. They do so brutal stuff. They were trying to convince them to just say, yes, we did say something against Islam or Prophet Muhammad or Quran. They went through hell. Sometimes their tortures, they can do a torture to make you a cripple for life. You cannot have a sex ever again. So they went through the whole physical remands. They were carried to the courthouse, and in courthouse, somebody, after hearing that they are justified, there's no guilt, they didn't say anything, it was a completely lie against them, so they are going to go on to ministry. Somebody came with a guilt and shame and shot both of them into the courthouse, and they were gone. They pay the price. That was, you know, their sacrifice for the name of Jesus Christ, to be upfront and willingly to die for His name's sake. So it's real. Battle is real. Some of them, we are going through different battles. We all have battles. We are fighting every day as we learn. So last time I was talking to Paul, I was talking to Isaiah. I learned something from David, and I share with you. And today I was just visiting Jesus. He was sitting on His, mountain, on the mountain of Olive, just, pouring His heart over the children of Israel, and He's saying, O Israel, as chicken have gathered together his chick, I wish you come to me. But you would not. I'm just paraphrasing that. So that was the scenario. And Jesus Christ sitting over the city and looking through, looking over the city from the mountain. And that's the moment going on in the Bible. So I was just reading through, and I said, we have so many battles. We are battling with sex. We are battling with, drugs. We are battling with our own selfishness, self-observations, all kind of things. But above all, Matt was, man, that was a great message. It kicked my donkey. It was a powerful message. So I was thinking, I say, like he was saying, Satan have his artillery is ready to go. Okay, I want to take Zach down. What should I shoot him with? Lie. Boom. I can feel it. Somebody's gossiping and maligning me, and somebody's just, saying something bad about me. And guess what? He shoot those kind of arrows to bully. Sometimes, I'm not good enough. I'm not good athlete. Girls not flocking around me. Different arrows being shot from Satan, and along our, journey, either we just, take all those arrows and say, I'm fed up. I'm giving in. I'm done. That's my identity. I'm a loser. I'm a fat. I can't do it. Nobody care about me. And then we just, go on life being depressed. Or the Word of God comes as a shield and starts supporting us, lifting us up, and encouraging us, and we're saying, you know, hey, Jesus says He loves me no matter how I look, what I feel, and even I don't care, He don't care about my education, my background, my color, my tongue, and what kind of clothes I wear, He still loves me, and that is just build us up. So I just want to go back. I was just, you know, studying and talking and looking and watching Jesus, what He was doing. Just as disciple was, you know, doing, if we look at Gospel of Luke chapter 11, we saw there's Jesus on the mountain praying alone, and that was His daily habit. And disciple of Jesus came to Him, says, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because the Pharisee students pray, John students pray, teach us how to pray. So, they were watching. We are to watch Jesus. How He live, how He lead, and how He, you know, defend. That should be our mandate, to watch Jesus. Again, I will just more emphasize that Jesus is still alive. Hebrews chapter 13 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As He was faithful 2,000 years ago, He is faithful 2,000 years after today. Don't just think that He's just, you know, a figure of history. No, He is real. There's a lot of people came and gone and set examples and did marvelous, awesome, huge things. But what He did cannot be ever forgotten. History proves. Your personal experience is the true evidence of His loyalty. So as I was watching Jesus, learning from Him, so I said, I need to, you know, share with these young lions. That was our, you know, last camp theme. Wicked flee when none pursue him, but righteous man and woman like a bold lion. There's many lions mentioned in the Bible. Many. The lion was hunted by Samson. Lion was hunted by David. Lion was hunted by two other men with David. They just, you know, take him down. But I just want to remind you, that's a wonderful picture. There's a lion mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5 about, you know, Satan being a roaring lion, and he's looking around, observing you, he's stalking you, he's just, you know, like a sniper. As Matt said, you need to know your enemy. And I often look at my enemy, Satan, like a stalker. Did you stalk girls sometime? Like stalking? I'm stalker. There's a song. Satan, just like somebody stalking somebody, you know, what she do, what color she wear, where she go, what she like, when she sleep, when she get up, when she do this, and what is her habit. Satan, just like that, he's a stalker. I look at him like that, stalker or sniper. I was talking to someone, he said, you know, when you go to sniper school and you learn a lot of stuff, and he said, the best part I will tell you, when you are on a mission, And when you have your fine ground, you are on your ground, you don't care. You sit there maybe 2 days, 3 days until your target shows up. And you don't care. You just poop even in your pants and let it dry in your cheeks. That's a reality when you are determined to take your target. They are trained that way. And we can learn from sniper. We can learn from even from our enemy who is just determined to take us out. He will do everything. He will shoot everything to destroy us. So, know your enemy. So, I like that, you know, illustration. He said, we don't move. We just watch and watch and watch and watch and watch. And if you have to pee, you pee in your pants. If you have to poop, you poop in your pants. You don't want your enemy to know that you are there. But you are there and they don't know. The same way Satan is there, but he don't show us that he's there. He's just in a unique way there to destroy you. So I want to focus on prayer because Jesus gave us a command. Jesus gave us an example. Example of a prayer. If somebody can open up and shout or read Luke chapter 22 verse 32 and 33. That will be our passage. I want you guys to go through some passages. And that will be our, you know, I did that, okay. Luke chapter 22 verse 32 and 33. That's the command we get from Jesus. That's the example. That is the picture. In our daily battles life, we should focus on Jesus, learn from Jesus, see Him, how He sit, how He walk, how He talk, how He love. Can somebody read that passage? Luke 22 chapter, verse 32-33. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. 32 and 33. Go ahead. You are in the wrong passage. Luke 22:32. Go ahead, Jonathan. 22. Mm-hmm. That's the moment where Jesus, you know, getting ready to go to finish His mission and accomplish what God called Him to do. The reason Jesus was born, to crucify, to pay the price of sin, and all the guilt and shame that belong to us and on us, He paid the price. So He's preparing Peter. He said, Peter, but I pray for you that your faith will not fail. But whenever you come back, you will strengthen your brothers. So we learn from Jesus that Jesus intercede behalf of Peter and behalf of us. And it's also Romans chapter 8. If we go Romans chapter 8, tells us that the Spirit of God intercede for us, and also Jesus Christ at the throne of God day and night intercede for us. Can somebody go to Romans 8? You are there? Awesome. Romans 8, 34, I believe. Romans 8, 34, I believe. That's the verse. Yep. Can somebody read? Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Go ahead, David. Okay. Anji, who condemn us? Satan. Who defend us? Jesus Christ. And where He's sitting, where He's standing? At the right hand of God, doing what? Interceding behalf of us. He's sitting there. His job is not done. He paid the price. He bought us from the sin market of, you know, slavery. But he's still at the right hand of God praying for us as he was praying for Peter. Peter, I know you are going to fail. No, Jesus, I will die for you. Jesus said, when you come back, help your brothers. Help your brothers. So I want to encourage you. A lot of people ask, I want to learn to pray. Simple. If you want to learn how to pray, start praying. Simple. How you learn prayer? You start praying and you learn prayer. Start talking to God. As you talk to your buddy, as you talk to, you know, someone close to you who pay attention to your pain and your loss and your gain, you share with them. Same way, take that same mentality and talk to God. Make him your battle buddy. Say, Lord, I have no friend that don't understand me here. Even I don't have a parents. I don't have even a girlfriend. Nobody care. Will you care? And universe will speak to you in a way that the God, the Holy Spirit will clear to you, yes, I am there for you. So he's interceding behalf of us, the Holy Spirit helping us how to pray when we don't know what to say, and he's always there to translate for our requests, for our needs, and everything we, you know, think and want to say. So today I just want to take your short time to just encourage you. If you have not been motivated, dedicated, or driven to pray, maybe make that your habit. Like I have a habit of coffee in the morning, not throughout the whole day. So I have a cup of coffee, go outside on the deck, looking a wonderful view, and there's a deer, and you just, you know, it's just gorgeous, and I have a moments of devotion of talking to God. You can make your moments. So I want to share with you guys 8 qualities for prayer. So let's go, and if you have a pen and pencil, you can write them down. Where should I go? It's freeze or what? Okay. Prayer should be humble. We should pray, God, give me a humble heart. Give me a humble heart. I am an arrogant person. Give me a humble heart. When we pray that, he's listening. He's listening. Psalm says it. Luke says it. He's listening. There's a story of, you know, two men going into the temple and Jesus looking at them. One is a Pharisee and other is, you know, tax collector. And the Pharisee just proud himself. He have all the gears on his chest of, you know, I pay all the 10%. I do good. I do even fasting. I don't do any unjust thing. And look at that person, the tax collector. As he's thinking to himself, lifting himself up and being arrogant and puffed up and putting the other tax collector down. And that is a wonderful example of, you know, to humble ourselves. And the other one even didn't lift his head up, and he just started beating his chest. He said, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me, O God. And Jesus said, the one who humbled him, things are breaking. Now you can hear me? Thank you. Yeah, in action. So, we should pray for that. Lord, I'm an arrogant person, help me. I pray all the time, Lord, do not let that arrogant person come between you and me. So the second one, we should be bold. When we pray, we should approach the throne of God with the boldness and confidence like you are talking to someone you know. And that is a relational term, that we know our Heavenly Father, we know Jesus Christ, and we know Him personally. And you know, we just go and say, hey Jesus, what's up? You want to have a cup of coffee? Talk to Him like He is someone that is in your life, is real. So pray when you pray. Pray for boldness and be bold. And also, prayer should be uttered in faith. Whenever you pray and say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe you say so. And that's why I ask so. That is faith. Lord God, you say so. That's why I ask so. Because you said ask and you will receive. So Hebrews 11:6, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's looking in your life and my life, faith. And number four, prayer should be sincere, you know. That's the right word? Yeah. It's not just, you know, it's a chore. Let's get over. Walk away and not be, you know, paying attentioning. When you pray, pray like, you know, you are praying. Don't make a joke. Don't make it waste of time, because it's not. And number five, should be simple. As simple as can be. Mom, I need an underwear. Dad, I need a two new BB guns. Simple. You don't have to make it like, you know, sometime like I do funny way with my wife. If when I get something, I will say, honey, you know, when we go to the town, there's a Mexican grills. Their steak is very good. The beef is very healthy and beans are good. They have a lettuce. They have a guacamole. And little bit cheese can don't hurt. And I like that Mexican, you know, burrito. Instead, you know, making that big list, trying to, you know, convince what you want, simply, I want burrito. Period. So don't make your prayer like, you know, you're trying to fool God. It should be simple. Lord, I need this. And if there's a desire, God, I'm fighting this desire. I'm hearing on the TV, as a Christian, I'm supposed to have a one wife and live with her and love her. And I'm hearing on the TV, there's a new age going on. You can have a 10 wives and a million children. That's my desire. What should I do? Tell him. And he will say, you know, I took only one rib from you. If I took more, then you will not be a rib man. You can't stand. So don't buy into those all kind of things, like a new age idea, like Islam, you know, telling you, by the way, they are just, you know, teaching that thing, and under the religion, you know, you can marry 5 times. And the strategy behind that, if you 5 times marry to a woman, at least each woman, you should have 5 or 6 kids, and that will multiply many more Muslims. Because in Islam, there's no free will. The day somebody's born in that family, they say the word in his ears or her ears, and they are done. They have a no choice for rest of their life unless they make a choice to become a believer. Otherwise, they're born into a bondage. So prayer should be a simple thing. Whatever you need. And sometime God fulfill our desires. Sometime He said, you know, wait on, hold on, Junior. I'm not going to give you a helicopter because you haven't learned a three-wheel paddle cycle. You don't know even to ride that one. How I'm going to give you, you know, Jeff F-16. So, don't try to, you know, butter up God. He knows what you need. Or what I need. Number six. Prayer should be persistent. Our God is awesome God. Should be persistent. It's not, oh, I didn't hear, so forget about it. Maybe heaven has been silent on me and God been gone deaf on me and I'm not going to ask Him. He don't care. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of a widow. She goes to unjust judge, banging on his door, keep on going. And he finally said, you know, this widow is not going to stop. And Jesus told that story to his disciple, saying, do not give up when you pray. Do not lose heart. So our prayer should be persistent, like that widow was just saying. Bum, 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 bum. Do justice for me. Asking an unjust judge, do a justice for me. So our God, Heavenly Father, is a righteous, holy gentleman, as you know, can you imagine how powerful and wonderful He is. So, should be persistent. Number seven. Prayer should be definitive. Definite, yeah. Definite. Should be definite. Psalms 27 verse 4, Acts 12:5, when you look at it, you will know, Lord, give me answer, give me guidance. Where should I go? Where should I go? Lead me, guide me. And I can again say, Matt and his wife, as they were coming here, they were praying, definitely, God, lead us what you want us to do. I know Gene and Nan, they're always praying, Lord, send us open door, closed door, definitely tell us what to do. That should be our, you know, daily desire. Lord, give me definite estimate what to do. Definitely, Lord, guide me. Lead me. And number eight. Our prayer should be, you know, lined up with the will of God. With the will of God. Our will can lead us into a wrong way. His will always lead us into godly way. And when He leads us, don't care where we are. We may be in a valley of shadow, of death and loneliness. Maybe are we facing a giant because we follow the will of God. And I want to tell you the funny story. The February 9, I arrived in Pakistan and it was a midnight. In the morning I went to church and I finished my morning service. There was a mother and a young daughter who was a demon possessed. So the mother said, you know, my daughter been going through struggle. She's hearing voices, looking at images and talking to the ceiling. And she have a normal strength. Nobody can, you know, take her down. And she speak, when she speak, it's just a different voice. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And it's just craziness going on in our home. Everybody afraid. So we pray and we finish and she went home. It was she was okay, but the demon didn't left her. I think the demon was not there, so she was in the church. So She went home, and 3 or 4 hours later, mother heard her daughter speaking in a weird language, in weird song, sound, and she's speaking. Don't call that pastor who came from USA. We will leave your daughter. So the mother, you know, being scared and just, you know, everything going on. So she told my brother, this is the voice was speaking. What should I do? So my brother came to me. I said, you know, we will go. Tell the mother, do not tell your daughter. We will come to your home with our prayer meeting, and Jesus' name is victorious. He will take care. Don't worry. So we did. We went home without telling the girls, and the girls, the minute the girls saw us, she was like a monkey, trying to climb on the carts, hiding underneath the carts, and, you know, going, you know, everywhere, screaming and shouting and saying, why you call them? Why you call them? I was encouraged by the statement when the demon says, don't call the pastor who came from USA. I knew my butt is not going to be kicked by demons, because in the story, there's a story in the book of Acts, there was two people who were using the name of Jesus for their own gain, and demon says, we know John, we know Peter, we know Jesus, who you? So I was encouraged. I said, I'm not going to be run down in the street naked butt like happened in the book of Acts. So I was encouraged. We went and we pray, and that woman was free from that demon possession. It's real. You maybe have seen just in a movie or read a novel or heard a story and never experienced, but it is real. It's straight from the Bible. So the reason I'm sharing, when we are going with the will of God, the grace of God will protect us, guide us, and provide us whatever we need. So the name of Jesus redeemed that girl, and now that whole family accepted Christ, and they are coming to church every morning in Pakistan. So when you pray, Lord, I want this, but first, not my will, your will be done. Observe Jesus, watch Jesus, learn from Jesus, and accept what he did, how he did. He's our role model. He will teach us how to, you know, save ourselves from the snares of the devil. So that was the 8 qualifications for prayer. And I want to share some other thing, and then we will be out of here. Oh, going back. Prayer should be offered up for what? For ourselves. And the storybook of Genesis, his servant was praying, Lord, give me guidance and protect my master Abraham. Grant me success. Nothing wrong to pray and utter prayer saying, Lord, give me success and grant me what you have prepared for me. So when we pray, we should pray for ourselves. Lord, I'm going to work here, there, over there. Let me be the reflection of Jesus Christ. Number 2, one another consider one another above all alls. So question, it's a hard one. If you don't raise your hand, I don't want you to feel bad. Do you pray for your country? Sit on it. Put in your pipe and smoke it. Do you pray for your country? If you've been not, start praying. Pray for the men and women who have and continually being, you know, going through so much for your and their own children's and the future that you and me will be facing to keep this country free from terrorism. You have a purpose, and that should be our purpose. We pray for one another, including plus United States of America and everybody in the office. Number three, prayer should be uttered for the kings. We don't have a king, but we have a president. We can pray for his safety. God don't put on this chair, on that chair that is existing in a White House for no reason. So, we should be praying for President. God, give him wisdom. Give him wisdom. When to say, what to say, and how to do, and whatever to do, do under your mighty Holy Spirit's inspiration and guidance. Pray for. Prayer should be uttered for kings. Oop. All in authorities. As Mark was saying, go to the policeman and say, sir, thank you very much for your service. Whenever I am in the airport and they, you know, single out me from stopping all the security going on, say, you, sir, and I will say, who? You! Follow us. And then they take you on a big screen asking a weird question, are you carrying something in your something? Are you, you know, clean? What you have? Do you have any metal in your body? Whatever. So they go through all security protocol. They ask questions. They do things and make you feel like, you know, you are like, you know, single out and maybe making you feel bad. After they do all the procedures, checking every hole in your body for your safety and for the country's safety, and I say, thank you, sir. So prayer should be uttered for all authorities. Policemen, law enforcement, pray. If you don't want to say yes or thank you, just pray for them. Lord, watch over them. They are not just, you know, working for a dollar, but also they have a loyalty and integrity to take an oath to keep the area safe. Also, number five, prayer for pastor. Evangelist, pray for your pastor. Or pray for the pastor that, you know, need a prayer. Maybe he's going through something that you, only the one who know. Or maybe God give him wisdom. So pray for pastors. Pray for church body. The church body. And I will just, you know, let it out. Church must be examined and determined, not by the size of how many seats are in the church. Church should be, you know, acknowledge how many they are sending out. A lot of people are in the business of, you know, buying more chairs, bringing more people, and sending none out there. So pray that the United States of America starts sending millions and millions out there to preach and share the name of Jesus. Or maybe you are the one God calling you to go in your neighborhood. Have a sweet tea and a little pizza and talk about Jesus. Food works in a many way. Number seven, for all saints. For all saints. Pray for people suffering in India. Pray for people, Salvador, and his congregation, his people in Mexico. Oh, I was correct this time. Mexico. For him, many, many people, Gene goes, that is your body of Christ. So let's move on. For all men, God, open their eyes. Those who haven't seen the face of Jesus. Maybe they are Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, or New Age, or Old Age, or Dragon Age, or whatever age they came from. Come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, let's go. I know you guys are, you know, cheeks are hurting. So pray. Pray for masters. We don't have, but you know, you can pray for someone who is teaching you a life lessons. Also, servants. Pray for servants. Pray for servants. If somebody is working under you, don't be bully. Don't be just, you know, exercising your authority and no show any regard for his or her pain or, you know, problem. Grab time to have maybe a cup of coffee and pray. Oh man, there's too many. Pray for children. There's a lot of children. A lot of children are abused. Pray for children. I got 4 minutes. So pray for children. Pray for your friends. Do you guys have friends? Make friends. Find friends. And if you don't have none, you have one. His name is Jesus Christ. Fellow countrymen, pray for them. Your neighborhood, for your country, for your county, for your sheriff, for many other things you can add into. These are passages that you can look up and then, you know, do. If you need a list, I will give you the whole list. Pray for the sick. Don't forget the sick. Yeah, pray for the persecuted believer. They are all over. They're all over. And I want to tell you, give you just the outline. Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. Did you hear me? How many? 322 Christians are killed every month for their faith. 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed every month. All over the world. 772 forms of violations are committed against Christians, such as beating, abduction, rape, arrest, slavery, forced to marriage, and Pakistan, among 15 countries this year, came on top of number 4. Last year was, I think, number 18 or 16. Now, among 15 countries on the global that have been persecuted, Pakistan come on the list according to Open Door Watch list survey number 4. So pray for persecuted believer in, around, and out, and everywhere. For Lord, your mercy, guide them. Help them. Pray for Israel. Again, do you pray for Israel? If you ask blessing according to God's own word, He will bless you. If you stand against Israel, you will face the wrath of God. So pray for Israel. Pray for your own country. And by the way, now is my country. I gave up the old country and became an American citizen in 2015. Took a lot of money, time, but it was awesome. It was awesome. I told the judge in the courthouse, I said, I never had that freedom, but now I have that freedom, and if anybody trying to take my freedom, I will die for or take somebody with me if anybody tries to take my freedom. So, I'm blessed. American citizen. Pray for our enemies. Somebody is abusing you verbally, pray for them. Also, pray for, you know, pray for enemy amongst whom we dwell. Lord, sometimes you can pray like David did. Study the prayer of David's. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay. Those who envy us. Some of them are envy of your, you know, Snickers. Some of them are envy of your girl because you got the gorgeous one. Some of them are, you know, envy of, you know, many other things. So pray for them, God. Just, you know, help them to understand. Pray for those who forsake us. Pray for those who, you know, what is that word? Murmur. Murmur, me. Murmur. God don't like murmur. So, pray for those who are just, you know, complain. And like, you know, there was a saying in my head, my first name is Jimmy and last name is Moore, and give me more and more and more and never satisfy. Those are like, you know, my first name is Jimmy Moore. The first name is Jimmy, last name is Moore. So more never satisfy. So more. I think that's it. So, last thing. Everybody have a phone, right? If you don't, you have a clock in your home. So I want to leave you with this, guys. This is the challenge. Set alarm for prayer on your phone for every day. I have done that. When this morning, when Matt was speaking, my alarm goes on 10:10. Ding, 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 ding. And on each alarm goes off, I memorize a Bible passage, which is a wonderful way to, you know, pray and Bible verses. So, one alarm goes off 7 a.m., 7:07. When my alarm goes off, I memorize scriptures and I pray. And what is my prayer? Ask, knock, and seek the face and the will of Holy God. That's my prayer. 7 o'clock. Lord, you have given me that day. I want to know your will. So that's my first alarm. Second one, John 10:10. 10:10 a.m. alarm goes off and I pray for the persecutor body of Christ. Lord, the Satan, the enemy is there to devour and take and abuse, but you came to give us life abundantly. So that's my second alarm. And the third one, Ephesians 3:20. When 3:20 p.m. come, my alarm goes off and I say, there's a passage, you know, thing, it's a passage, it's a wonderful passage. I think Gene can just say it in a minute. I have to think about it. So, think and ask big, because I am your Almighty God. So, you know, when you pray with all your, you know, mind and soul, God saying, you know, I can do much more beyond what you can think and ask for through the power that lives in you. That's my third. And the fourth one, Jeremiah 33:3. That's my last alarm. And that's the alarm God said, call me. Call me. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And I ask for wisdom. Reveal things, Lord, in my life, in my heart, and also around me so I can help others. So I can fulfill your purpose. So I think that's it. And that's the challenge. If you don't have set up alarm, please do. You can do any Bible passage. Memorize. Pray for your country. Pray for one another. Pray for Israel. If you didn't get anything, if I have bored you with the, you know, Bible passages, I will encourage you, I will plea you, I will, you know, ask, like Paul said, I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ. Do something what you have learned today. God bless. Let's pray. Father, we lift up United States of America, that, Father, you have all brought us here for one purpose, to glorify you, to do the will and the purpose that you have prepared for us for eternity past. So, Father, bless our time together, and I pray, Father, keep all the enemy, domestic or any enemy that is foreign, keep far, far them away from Father, United States, the United States of America, and also wisdom and conviction and your protection for Mr. Donald Trump, our president, Father, and for his family. And also I lift up the Holy Land, the land where our Savior come from, Israel. I ask a blessing for children of Israel, Father. Reveal the King of Peace to those who haven't seen or understand that He came and lived and died and blood and resurrected again and coming again. So Father, open those who haven't not heard and seen the face of Jesus. And bless all of these precious, wonderful souls that you love them. Use them in their neighborhood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I took 2-3 minutes extra. God bless you. I think you guys are dismissed. You're welcome. Yep, in the name of Jesus, go away.
You're good at this stuff. That's
funny. He showed up again.
Here's the